Well, the portion of scripture we're going to look at this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 15. It's the story of the people of Israel right after God had delivered them through the Red Sea and provided that way of escape for them, but before they had actually arrived on Mount Sinai. So let's turn and begin reading in Exodus chapter 15, beginning at verse 19. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." Wouldn't it be great if that were the whole story? The whole story for the nation of Israel, just God bringing victory and the people praising God. Wouldn't it be great if that were the whole story for us? God bringing mighty victories and we just singing his praises. We'd be in one wonderful spiritual high all the time. God always showing us his spiritual hand of protection and provision, and we always having the opportunity to praise him and worship him for the great things he's doing in our lives. The people of Israel had just witnessed God deliver them from one of the mightiest armies at the time. Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, leads the people in praise for that great deliverance. Notice that this passage describes Miriam as a prophetess. What exactly is that? Well, in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, a prophet or a prophetess is simply one who receives a message from God and passes it along to others. And we see several individuals, again in the Old Testament and in the New, who fulfilled this role in the Bible. And apparently Miriam served as a prophetess to the people of Israel during this time of the Exodus. Now, many of us are very familiar with the prophets of the Old Testament, but we also know, if we look carefully, that God called many women to this role as well. Thinking about the Old Testament, we have the story of Deborah, one of the judges. She was a scribe, as a prophetess of Israel in her time. And then we have the story of Huldah in 2 Kings chapter 22. If we turn to the New Testament, we see the story of Anna, there who found Mary and Joseph in the temple as they were dedicating Jesus, and she met them and spoke a word of prophecy over the child. We also read in the book of Acts that Philip the evangelist had four daughters, and those four daughters had the gift of prophecy. In fact, prophets and prophetesses in the early church, if you recall, were one of the results of the Holy Spirit coming into the lives of the believers. If you remember, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit first was poured out on the early church, we read this in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Peter preaches a very mighty sermon that day to explain to the crowds of Jerusalem what was happening before them. And when he turned to explain to the crowd what was happening, he said that this was all in fulfillment of what the prophet Joel had proclaimed so many years before. And then Peter quotes Joel chapter 2, verse 28, as he addresses the crowds there in Jerusalem. Remember, the crowds, when they saw this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, even though it was 9 in the morning, they quickly assumed that the believers of Jesus were drunk of some sort, or acting so strangely. And so Peter begins to explain to the crowd what was really happening. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." Verse 16, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, God will pour out my spirit on those in those days, and they will prophesy." So throughout the Old Testament, and even into the New Testament, there was a sense in which there were these that would give us a message from God. Now some people say, well, why don't we have prophets today? Why don't we have prophetesses today? Well, I think the reason for that is that God has given us the Holy Scriptures. And in the time period in which the prophets and the prophetesses were acting in the early church, were a time in which the church wasn't yet fully established and the Scriptures were not fully available to all. Today, God desires for the church to seek out the answers to their questions as they turn to the Scriptures. Well, does that mean that God cannot and will not send others to be a prophet? Well, that doesn't mean that. In fact, we need to be just real discerning when we hear a word that is seeming to be a word of a prophecy. In fact, when we did our study in 1 Corinthians, one of the things that Paul said was that men and women would offer words of prophecy to the church. And he encouraged the church to use discernment and wisdom as we listen to those. Well, let's get back to Exodus chapter 15 and the words of praise coming to us from Miriam the prophetess. She proclaims, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted." Well, she was able to praise God because God had just shown himself in a very mighty way. God had just delivered the people of Israel from their troubles. But what if? What if it's been a long time since God has delivered us in a mighty way? What if we are kind of in the doldrums of our spiritual life? Or what if we are facing difficulties that just have taken our focus off of God? What do we do then? Well, let's see what the people of Israel did as they moved on from the Red Sea and they came upon the first major challenge in their walk with God, in their walk to the promised land. Let's read now from verse 22. Verse 22. "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter." That is why the place is called Marah. If you recall in our study of the book of Ruth recently in our adult Sunday school class, we talked about Naomi, who when she came back to Bethlehem from being away for many years, when she met her family and friends, she wanted to be called Mara, not Naomi, because she was bitter about what had happened in her life. So the Israelites came to this place. The water there was bitter. And then in verse 24, we read, "So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?'" After this wonderful spiritual high point of God's deliverance from the Red Sea, the people soon found themselves in a difficult situation. This time traveling 3 days without water, and when they finally did find some water, the water turned out to be undrinkable. Now you would have thought that in this situation they would have turned to God in faith. Remember, God had just delivered them from the land of Egypt by 10 mighty plagues, demonstrating the power of God. God had just allowed the sea to part and for them to pass through and the sea to close in over their enemies. You would have thought that would have been enough to sustain them, to give them that confidence that God could solve this problem as well. But instead of turning to God in faith, they turned to Moses and they complained. Now, before we get too critical with Israel for their lack of faith, we need to reflect a bit on our own lives. How often do we do the very same thing? How often do we forget what God has done in the past when we are facing a new difficulty in the present? How often do we swing back and forth between times of praising God for His many blessings and grumbling to other people about how difficult life is at this particular moment? Sometimes it's not even a matter of days, because the praising God and grumbling to Moses was just a few days. Sometimes in our lives it's not even a couple of days, it's a few hours between our times of praising and our times of grumbling. Do we forget and lose focus that quickly, that easily? Well, it seems as though the people of Israel had lost their focus that quickly and that easily. But we do the same things at times. Why is that? Well, I think it's because the people of Israel and you and I ourselves have not yet developed that trust that God will continue to provide us protection and provisions. Now, we will at times experience God's protection and provisions in a very mighty way, in a very visible way, a way that causes us to just praise Him because of His clear and evident hand in our lives. But then there are other times when God's protection, God's provisions are not as noticeable. They're not as spectacular. The real question is whether or not we forget about God and we fall into despair and self-pity when we don't see real clearly the hand of God. Well, here's another little interesting feature of this situation as well. So often our toughest trials come soon after our greatest victory. And this is what we see here with the people of Israel. God had just delivered them through the Red Sea. And a few days later, they faced their first major challenge. Elijah is another example of this very thing. If you remember the story of Elijah, the prophet, he was the one who met the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel and did battle, and he was victorious. He was victorious. It was a great spiritual victory for him. But if you remember the story of Elijah, soon after that event, Jezebel, the wicked queen, began to make threats upon his life, and it spooked him. And we see Elijah running away from the land of Israel and wallowing in self-pity and doubt in a distant land. Again, sometimes our toughest trials, our biggest difficulties, come on the heels of some of our great victories, great spiritual victories. During the dry times, during the challenges, we need to recall God's faithfulness, His faithfulness in the past. When the people of Israel came to Marah and they found that there was no water, they forgot all about God's mighty deliverance that happened just a few days before. Elijah forgot about his spiritual victory there at Mount Carmel when he found himself running from the threats of Jezebel just a few days later. How often do we forget about the hand of God, the blessings of God, just a few days later? We need to be careful that we don't magnify our present problems. Instead, we need to remember that God has protected us and provided for us in the past. Now, we may not feel or we may not see God's hand in our present problems, but we remember that He is still there. He is still close by. The Israelites were coming to Marah, finding bitter water, and that just seemed to overwhelm them. They seemed to magnify that problem and forgot all about God. We sometimes do the same thing. We find ourselves in a difficult situation, and we wallow in self-pity, we exaggerate our hardships, we overlook the blessings and God's provisions in the past. As I was preparing the message this morning, I came across a wonderful insight related to this situation. And this is how it goes. God is not concerned with the number of offenses the Israelites commit. Rather, He is concerned with the Israelites' unbelief in light of their deliverance at the Red Sea. In other words, again, applying this to ourselves, God is more concerned with our own lack of faith, our own state of unbelief, than God is worried about the number of sins or the number of offenses that we would commit. Now, we sometimes put far too much focus on the outwardness of our sins or the outwardness of our offense, and we kind of neglect our state of mind. We kind of neglect to concern ourselves with our level of faithfulness. This is actually very true when we're evaluating other people, but it's also true when we're doing kind of a self-evaluation, when we're seeing where we are in our walk with God. We give so much a focus on the outward. Now, the outward and the inward are issues we need to be mindful of. But in this passage, God seems to be much more interested in the level of faithfulness, the level of trust, the state of mind of the people of Israel. Let's go back to the Exodus story and see how God will work in this situation. How did God show His hand of provision to the people there as they were encamped at Marah? Verse 25. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Just think about this. God was able to part the Red Sea, bring them through that major obstacle of water. Here, in light of that, Marah seems so trivial. And God is able to meet that difficulty as well. God provided some miraculous water sweetener. By the instruction of God, Moses was able to make the water sweet by throwing in a piece of wood that God had showed him. We also read in this particular passage that the Israelites' thirst tested their faith. And it also introduces some of the solutions to that testing, and that being God's decrees, God's laws. Let's go on now and read from verse 25 through 26. Verse 25, actually it's the last part of that verse. It says, there, that is at Marah, the Lord made a decree and law for them, and there He tested them. Verse 26, He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. This is a key passage. in this portion of the story of the Exodus. So let's examine it very carefully. First of all, the last part of verse 25, it says that God tested the Israelites. It's always a difficult topic to understand. What does it mean when we say God tested the Israelites? How does God test us today? Well, that word tested is a tricky one. But here's a definition that sheds some light on this passage and also gives us an insight into how God sometimes will test our own faithfulness. The word test here means to subject to difficulty in order to prove the quality of someone or some things. The idea is simply this. God sometimes does allow us to face certain challenges in life, to face certain hardships. Not that we would fail, not that we would fall away, but rather that we would see and that we would show forth our trust, our faithfulness. One of the great examples of that is the story of Abraham. And the same notion of testing is found in the story of Abraham. In fact, we were talking about this just last Wednesday evening in our Bible study, how God tested Abraham in the story of the call of God upon Abraham to take Isaac to a place that God would show him. And there he was to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering to the Lord. Now we know from the story that God did not intend for Abraham to follow through with this act, but it says that he was testing Abraham, giving Abraham an opportunity to show forth, to prove the quality of his faithfulness and his trust in God. God did not want Abraham to fail. In fact, and we've talked about this before, this is one of the key distinguishing features between testing and tempting. God does test us. And God is testing Abraham. God is testing the children of Israel there at Marah. He wants them to show forth their faith. Satan, on the other hand, he doesn't test us. He tempts us. You see, Satan wants us to fail. God wants us to succeed. Now, will we always succeed and pass the tests that God sends to us? Well, no, sometimes we do fail. Sometimes we do fall short. We don't show our faithfulness. We don't show the trust as we ought to. Well, someone say, well, wait a minute. Since God knows the outcome of the test before he puts the test to us, why would God give me a test if he knows that at the end I'm not going to measure up? Well, again, it is for our good. That's the distinguishing feature between testing and tempting. God is testing us for our good because this opportunity of testing, if we do not measure up, is a means by which we see our lack of faith, our lack of trust, and we learn from the experience and we hopefully will grow in our faithfulness and grow in our test. This is the positive purpose of testing, to be distinguished from the negative purposes of tempting. Well, returning to Exodus chapter 15, we see that God is setting forth an important decree or law. We can also describe this as an important rule or principle. And what is that? Well, let's look again at verse 26. This is what the Lord says. If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. That's stated so very well. I'm not going to diminish that with any commentary. Instead, I will just emphasize that this principle is true for us today, just as it was true for the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness, as they were moving toward the promised land. And by the way, God gave this or said this to the Israelites before he gave them the Ten Commandments and the other decrees and laws of God there at Mount Sinai. He was, in essence, preparing the people for that event. He's letting them know ahead of time that obedience to the laws and the decrees that God would bring also brings continued protection and provision from the Lord. God wants to protect us. He wants to provide for us. But he also wants his people to be faithful in the relationship that God is seeking to establish between himself and them. God wants his people to trust him for protection and provision. That's why he gave them this test before he gave them the laws and decrees there at Mount Sinai. And the truth is, we can obey God. We can show forth great faithfulness. The passage says, verse 26, if you listen carefully and do what is right. When we're in a spiritual drought, when we are facing a difficulty, be careful. Listen carefully to the laws and the decrees of God. Listen carefully to God pleading with us to do the right thing and to trust in the relationship with him. See the challenge as a test in which we can show forth our faithfulness or learn and grow in our faithfulness. See the difficulty in your life as an opportunity to show to yourself, to others, and to the Lord the quality of your faith and your trust in God. Remember what God has done for you in the past. Also, remember who God is in the present. Speaking of who God is, let's look again at verse 26. It says, for I am the Lord who heals you. Who is God? Well, here he's being described as the God who heals. The Hebrew phrase for this particular passage is Jehovah Rapha. The word Rapha means to heal, to repair, to make whole again. And that's what God does. He heals, he repairs, he makes whole again. That's what God has done for us in the past. That's what he wants to continue to do in our lives now. Who is God? He is the God who heals. Jehovah Rapha. Let's go back quickly to the story of Abraham. We noted a moment ago, if you recall, when Abraham arrived at Mount Moriah in order to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering to the Lord, just as God had asked him. Remember, God was testing Abraham in the situation. We read that God stopped the hand of Abraham at the last moment. Abraham passed the test that God had sent to him. He showed forth his faithfulness. And then God, we read in that story, provided another sacrifice instead. God provided a ram that was caught in the thicket nearby. And at that time, and this is in the story, it says that God showed himself as the provider. In that event, the Abraham story with Isaac, God is described as Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. Who is God? He's Jehovah Rapha. Who is God? He's Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who heals. He is the one who provides. He has protected and provided in the past, and he will continue to protect and provide in the present. Let's not forget that. Let's remember what God has done in the past and who God is in the present. In times of testing come, let us show forth our faith, our trust in God. When we do, God will lead us into that promised land. God will again show himself in mighty ways. Let's not be filled with despair when we face difficult times. Looking back at the people of Israel, soon after they left that place of bitterness, when they left Morah, they moved on to a better place, a better place. Let's look now at verse 27. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs, 12 springs, and 70 palm trees. And they camped there near the water. Elim sounds like a pretty refreshing place, a place with plenty of water. Remarkably, Elim was only a one-day journey from Morah, a one-day journey on foot. See, the people felt discouraged, they felt bitterness, but God's remedy, God's place of provision, was only one day away. When we feel like we're at kind of the end of our rope, we're facing a major battle, a major challenge, our friends have let us down, our family has disappointed us, and we wonder if it's worth it at all, remember, God's provision was one day away. We still can find strength in Jesus, who's always with us. John chapter 7, verse 37. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Let's remember who God is, what he has done, and what he still desires to do. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this story of your provision, the story of your protection. Sometimes we face Morah. We experience bitterness. We face a situation that just takes our eyes off of what you have done. So Father, help us. Help us to remember. Help us to reflect on who you are, how you are Jehovah Rapha. You desire to bring healing. You are Jehovah Jireh. You desire to provide for us. Let us remember and have faith in that. Let us always take our eyes off of Morah and point them toward Elim. Let us take our eyes off of our current problem and put our eyes upon you as our provider, our healer. Father, in all these things we want to grow and learn. We want to be tested in our faith and found faithful, found trustworthy. Father, we thank you for this. We ask your continued strength as we walk through the journey of life that you have set before us. Help us always remember. Help us all remember. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.